Lord, we thank you for the Psalms and the way that they express so many different emotions and relate to so many different circumstances and situations in our lives. We thank you for the reality of them, and we pray that Psalm 6 would be a great help to us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's hear the word of the Lord together. Psalm 6, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My Lord, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. There's a Sunday school song, which you may know, which goes, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And then the verses go on, stomp your feet, and goodness knows what else. Which is fine, but what if you're not happy? What if you're going through a really hard time at work or at home? What if you feel really low? What if you're grieving? A happy praise song is the last thing you need in that kind of situation. And sometimes it can feel a little bit like that at church. Don't know if you found that, but if you're going through a difficult time, if life is hard, the last thing you want to do is go to church where people are singing happy praise songs and expecting you to join in. Feels unreal, as if you're supposed to just pretend that all is well when it very much isn't. Proverbs 25 verse 20 says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. So saying the person is suffering enough as it is, they're cold, and all you're doing is you're making it worse by taking away their coat. So we need a Christianity that has more reality to it, which recognises that life is often hard, and that doesn't respond to everything with a sort of superficial, happy-clappy attitude. But where can we find that reality? And the answer is we find it in the book of Psalms. So among the 150 Psalms, there are happy songs of praise. Psalm 100, for example, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, come into his presence with singing. But there are also what are called songs of lament. And in fact, half of the Psalms are various types of songs of lament. And in them, the psalmist is in trouble, and he's not happy, and he lets God know that he's not happy, and he cries out for help. And Psalm 6, I've just read, is an example of that type of psalm. And we need songs and prayers and words like this in our repertoire. Because Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And too often we expect those who weep to rejoice with us, and it does them no good at all. Too often we have a sort of one-size-fits-all approach in which those rejoicing and those weeping are expected to just join in together singing the same happy praise songs. And so we need psalms like this. We need psalms like this that we can use in our own prayers when we're suffering, and psalms that we can use to help one another and support one another when we're finding life hard. So here in Psalm 6, in the first seven verses, we get this window into the sufferings of King David. And there's different types. So firstly, you'll see on the sheet, emotional suffering. Verse 2, for example, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. So he's emotionally weary, he's at the end of his tether. Or verse 3, O Lord, how long? So the psalmist had enough. This cry, how long, comes up 16 times in the Psalms out of a total of 33 times in the whole Bible. So it's clearly a really important theme. Sort of saying, why God, don't you do something about this situation? You know, this is dragging on, I can't take any more. That's the sense of it. He's exasperated. May 27th will be the anniversary of John Calvin's death in 1564. And his last words as he lay there battling his final illness were, "Usqueque Domine," which is Latin for "How long, O Lord?" And that had actually been something of a motto throughout his life and all the troubles that he faced. And then you've got verse 6 where he says, "I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief." So what you've got there is someone who's not just a bit upset, but he's in the depths of grief and sorrow. He's not just welling up a bit, but he's flooding his bed and drenching his couch with tears. And notice it's not just a one-off, but he says every night. Now this is actually a bit of a shock, isn't it? Because this is a psalm of David, and David was the king. And we think, well, kings have everything. They have power, they have wealth, they have influence. If anyone should be happy, it should be the king. But this king is emotionally going through the ringer. And it must have been a puzzle, I guess, to God's Old Testament people. Why did their king suffer so much? And why were his sufferings recorded like this for future generations? But from our standpoint now, of course, it makes perfect sense. That the suffering of the king foreshadowed the sufferings of the king who would come. The suffering servant, Isaiah 53 foretells, is described as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus says in Luke 24:44, he says, "Everything written about me in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And this is part of that everything written in the Psalms. Or Peter says that the prophet spoke of the sufferings of the Christ and the subsequent glories. And here we get a sort of window into his sufferings. And we give thanks to God that he went through this for us. But these psalms, they also speak of the experience of God's people. And they give us words to pray in difficult times. Secondly then, there's this spiritual dimension to the sufferings as well. If you look at verse 1, he says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath." So the psalmist is fearful of God's anger, his wrath, presumably because he knows he deserves it. Or look at verse 3. He says, "My soul also is greatly troubled." So his troubles are not just emotional or physical, but they're spiritual. And then there in verse 5, he says, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" So his life is in danger. He clearly doesn't want to die. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, there is hope of life beyond the grave. And certainly in the New Testament, that's crystal clear. But in this bit, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of hope, does there, in verse 5? Now, he might just be saying that he's able to praise God when he's alive in a way that he can't when he's dead. Or maybe his perspective reflects just quite how low he's feeling, that he's completely hopeless. Now, this spiritual suffering of the psalmist is fulfilled in the experience of Jesus. In John 12, verse 27, as Jesus contemplates going to the cross, he quotes these very verse, these words from verse 3. So he says, "Now is my soul troubled." Same words. And this spiritual agony surfaces in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying for this cup to pass from him. On the cross, he's forsaken by the Father, as our sin, the judgment that deserves, is poured out on him. And we give thanks for that. But although as God's people, Jesus suffered spiritually for us, that doesn't mean that we are immune from spiritual troubles as followers of Christ. We will have times when spiritually we feel that God is distant. And we will have times when his hand is heavy upon us because of sin. Or when we don't understand why he's allowed this or that to happen to us. And at times like that, the Psalms can help us to express to God how we're feeling. Now, God wants that, doesn't he? He wants us to be real with him. He doesn't want us to just put on a good face. One woman wrote this. She said, "My quest to understand the Psalms of Lament began in the midst of a period of deep depression." She said, "I'd spent a wonderfully rich 2 months in Ethiopia recording Christian Somali music for broadcast from Ethiopia over Somalia. But within a few short months of returning home, I was unemployed. I was living in the basement of a friend's parents' house. My family home had burned down. A friend of mine had committed suicide. I was deeply disillusioned with God, completely buried under my grief, and I spent most of my days either in a futile job search or sleeping. And she says, during my depression, the only scripture passages I felt able to read were the Psalms, and specifically the Psalms of Lament. Thirdly, there's a physical dimension to the suffering here as well. So verse 2, the psalmist says, heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. So it's not just soul, but it's body as well. And we've already seen in verses 6 and 7 the physical effects of sorrow as he weeps and the exhaustion that comes from that. So verse 6, he says, I'm weary with my moaning. And so as for David, so also for the Christ. His sufferings were obviously physical as well. And if you've ever seen that gruesome film, The Passion of the Christ, you'll have some insight into what was involved in being flogged and then crucified. And it should move us to give thanks to Jesus for going through all of that for us and for our salvation. And although none of us will ever go through anything like that, physical suffering is something that few people escape in a fallen world. So our bodies get sick, they go wrong, they age, and one day they die. And so this line here, heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled, in verse 2, those are words that most of us at some point will want to say to God if we haven't already. And in such times, psalms like this are a great comfort. Someone's been there before, I'm not alone. And it also gives us words to talk to God and to express how we're feeling when we're maybe not sure what we should pray or when we scarcely have the heart to pray. So one woman I was reading about called Catherine, she read through the book of Psalms in a continual loop with her son when he was diagnosed with leukemia. And they read about 5 psalms a day and they completed the whole book of Psalms each month so that every night as her son went to sleep, he had a psalm running through his mind. And she's continued doing this after his death as she grieves his loss. The fourth dimension of suffering here is relational. So how he's treated by other people. You look in verse 7, he speaks of all my foes. And then verse 10, all my enemies. So the psalmist was up against it. He was facing opposition. People were telling lies about him. They were slandering him, cursing him. And there were people out to bring him down and even to kill him. And so as for King David, so for King Jesus. Hebrews 12:3 says of Jesus, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And he did, didn't he? The mocking, the hatred, the shame, he endured all that for us. But hostility from other people, it may also be the experience of the followers of Jesus. And even when that isn't the case, many of our difficulties in life are relational ones. Social ones. So someone did a survey of students at Moore Theological College in Sydney, in Australia. And it was a survey about their experience of suffering and how the Psalms had helped them. 81% of the people said that they had experienced significant suffering and pain at some point in their lives. And it took various forms. Personal illness and health problems. The illness or the death of other people. Financial difficulties. Work problems. But top of the list at 65% was relational difficulties, relationship difficulties. So this psalm we're saying is about the experience of suffering, emotional, spiritual, physical, social, the whole spectrum. And we're saying it applies on 2 levels. So we're saying that in the first place, the experience of King David is fulfilled in King Jesus, the ultimate son of David. So it's basically him speaking in the psalm. It's his suffering. So what we get here is this window into the heart and soul of Christ. Now that should fill us with love and thanks as we see what he went through for us and for our salvation. That he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. But we're saying that secondly, the experience of the psalmist finds echoes in our own experience as well in this fallen world. That these psalms speak to us and they speak for us in our own experience of suffering. How do they help us? Well, various ways. I think firstly, they comfort us. Because in our suffering, we know that we're not alone. Jesus himself read and prayed these psalms. This very psalm, Psalm 6, quite a thought, isn't it? Jesus will have known it, he will have read it, he would have prayed it. And of course, countless of God's people have done that over the centuries. When we're suffering, we can feel isolated, we can feel alone. But through these psalms, we join this company of God's suffering people. Secondly, these psalms give us words to say to God. So someone has said, in a time of illness, I hardly had the energy to pray, and praying a psalm a day was all I could manage, but how it lifts the spirit. So the psalms, if you like, they give a voice to the sufferer. They give us a language for expressing to God how we feel in difficult times. So do take them away and pray the psalms. And thirdly, they give permission to God's people to find life difficult and to feel what they're feeling, to be real. And we need to give one another that same permission. So the Psalms help us to lament well, to acknowledge the reality of suffering, that life is often hard for many people, and to be real about that, to express that. And to be real with one another and be real with God, rather than sort of hiding behind a happy, smiley mask that says, I'm happy, happy, happy because Jesus loves me. And the last thing they do is they give us hope and confidence in the darkness of our situation. And that is our second point in how the psalm ends. So notice how the mood switches in the final paragraph to one of confidence. So as he prays to the Lord, he's confident the Lord has heard him and he will deliver him. So look at verse 8. He says, the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. And so as with King David, the Lord heard the prayers of the Christ. Hebrews 5:7. Jesus offered up prayer with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. So the Lord heard Jesus. The Lord delivered Jesus. He didn't deliver him from death. He delivered him through death. He raised him to life. He exalted him at his right hand. And so the Lord hears his people as they cry to him. And he will, he assures us, he will deliver us. Now, sometimes he delivers us from the situation of suffering, but if not, then ultimately he will deliver us as one day he raises us from the grave to life with him. So it's saying deliverance will come when the Christ comes back. That is our Christian confidence. Now, notice finally that the day of deliverance will also be a day of departure. It'll be a day when God's enemies depart from him once and for all. So if you look at verse 10, it says, all my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Striking, isn't it, that the word troubled comes up in verse 2. So there the psalmist had been troubled. Then it comes up again in verse 10, where he's confident that one day the tables will be turned and his enemies would be troubled and put to shame and sent away in disgrace. This is telling us that the day is coming when God's victory will be complete, that all his enemies will be overthrown, spiritual, human, and his people will live with him in his kingdom forever. Now, this perspective makes a difference, doesn't it? So the woman I mentioned, whose son had leukemia, she said this about the Psalms of Lament. She said, they steady our heart, they nourish our faith, they restore our soul, because they give us a big and eternal perspective. The Bible says that the sufferings of this present time will one day give way to the glory of the age to come. That was the confidence of David, it was the confidence of Jesus, and that is the confidence of the people of God. But if that confidence is to be ours, we need to make sure we really are God's people. You see, those words there in verse 8, depart from me all you workers of evil, they're ones we find in the gospel accounts on the lips of Jesus. And when we find them on the lips of Jesus, they are words that he says he will say to some people on the last day, people who thought they were in, and who discover to their horror on the last day that they are shut out and it is too late. So Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he says that on the last day there will be people who he declares to, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Or again in Luke 13:27, he says that there will be people on the last day who say, Lord, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets. But he will say, depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So these final words in the psalm, depart from me, they're chilling words, aren't they, when we find them on the lips of Jesus. Do you think that Jesus might ever say them to you one day? If you even suspect that he might, today would be a good day to make a fresh start as a true disciple, living a life of obedient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for us, and then it's over to you for questions, comments you may have. Lord God, we thank you for the reality of the Psalms, and we pray particularly for any amongst us today who are going through a period of real hardship and trial and suffering, that this psalm would be a great comfort to them. I pray that as your people, we would be a comfort to one another, we'd be real with one another, and I pray that the Psalms would be a great help to us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.